Amen. Can we all stand up and pick our text from Psalm number 106, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2 says, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2. "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and be reverent too, because we are entering the thanksgiving proper now. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. Suddenly among the Gentile church, suddenly you will observe that there is just scriptures, need for thanksgiving, but to give it the kind of attention that the churches give these days, especially after the Protestant movement, in the restoration move of God, to discover that it has first and foremost a history. The nation of America even has a day in November, I think 15th or so, in November, where a public holiday is declared and the whole nation declares it a Thanksgiving Day, and the whole nation come before God in various ways, in activities that show gratitude to God. But before it was declared a national holiday, it was a practice of this group of people that are referred to in history as the pilgrims. It's a group of people that were known as Puritans, that were not satisfied with what was happening in Europe. In England, first and foremost, with the Church of England, they protested from there when the King of England threatened them for refusing to follow them in their practices, that their terms were unscriptural. They moved over to Europe, I think specifically Holland or so. They were there also, moved themselves there, settled there. But sooner or later, they discovered the practice of Christianity there was too much mixed with paganism, and they just needed some freedom. And by that time, they had already heard that a new continent, a new land had been discovered by Christopher Columbus' expedition, known today as America. And that is how the history tells us they moved themselves, I think they said about 146 of them or so. They moved over, spent about 2 months on the sea, very long journey, finally landed in the American soil, met the native Indians there, but somehow they were accepted, and somehow they got there, settled there. And within the first year, they had a lot of problem settling down. First, they met a very harsh weather that killed a good number of them. But the natives helped them out. Somehow, they were able to survive. And they even settled down, planted vineyards, had their farms, and harvested. And the time came when they saw that there was a need to thank God who saw them through and now settled them in the land of America. So they had their first Thanksgiving occasion, Thanksgiving where the whole of them declared a day as Thanksgiving. And it continued only among them, even as America all that developed into what it became a nation. And finally, one of the presidents of America decided to adopt it as their Thanksgiving Day, and it is part of their constitution today. But more interesting is that the root of Thanksgiving is actually from the Old Testament with the Jews, Israel. If you observe, there are three national feasts. Very important. There are seven feasts, seven or so feasts, but there are three important ones. The first one, and they are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy chapter 16. They are also mentioned in Exodus chapter 23. The first one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is the Passover feast. You either call it Feast of Unleavened Bread or you call it the Passover feast. That feast was a commemoration of how the Lord brought them out of bondage. Each time they come together, that feast is instituted by God Himself to let them appreciate where they were when God came and delivered them and brought them out. So once every year, according to the law given, according to the period stated, I'm not going into the details. Every one of us who is a Bible student, you should know the details. These are common feasts, the Passover feast. What do they do within this period? They come to thank God for bringing them out of bondage. And more importantly, to remember how it was done. How he came down mightily so that you will not forget the great works that God did to give you deliverance. That is a period they come and thank God, especially for that. The second feast is known as the Feast of Weeks, or known as the Feast of Pentecost. And it is also known as the Feast of First Fruits. That is Pentecost. You know, it's Feast of Weeks because immediately after the Feast of First Fruits, you count 49 days. That is how many weeks? 7 weeks, correct? 7 times 7 is what? 49. That is 7 weeks from the day of the wave offering. It's in Leviticus chapter 23. Count 50 days, 49 days. Then the fifth day is the day of Pentecost. And that is the day, the ceremony that goes, carries on with the first fruit ceremony. And there is an offering that is supposed to go with it. Then, the third one is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, also known in the Hebrew language as Sukkot. And it is also known in the Bible, referred to in the Bible also severally as the Feast of Ingathering. The Feast of Tabernacle was instituted in the wilderness after to remember how they walked in the wilderness. Remember, all these feasts take place after they arrive at their promised land. Things you are to do in remembrance. The Feast of Tabernacle, how it goes is, or it is also called the Feast of Booths. All the Jews, we come together and build tents. That is the booth. They are to build it, and there is a design of how the tent are to be built. It will be built, but it will not have covering. Tabernacle there is tent. And it is to remind them of how they walked in the wilderness, no farm, no land, in between the wilderness journey until they came around, and remember, they came to the promised land, they had no farm, they had no economy, all the economy was heavenly economy, food was supplied for them, God fought their battle, everything was from above. That's why you leave the top open, you don't cover it, because all the supply to that tent was from above. And it is instituted in Israel, a moment to give thanks to God. Let's see how the Bible puts it. Let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Or let's go to Exodus chapter 23 first. Exodus chapter 23. It says from verse 14, and let me read it up to verse 17. This was the law. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it, that is the reason, thou camest out from Egypt, and none, that's, see my emphasis there, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast, another feast, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, and verse 23. 34 verse 23. Or rather, let's read from verse 22. 22 and 23. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. That is the 3 feasts there. The first one is the feast of weeks. The second one, the first fruit of the wheat harvest, and the third one, the feast of ingathering, which is the feast of tabernacles. He said, at the year's end, praise God. Thrice in a year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out, see what will happen. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Now I want you to note something here. As far as Israel is concerned, that gathering was mainly for the males. And the reason is because, not for the women, the males. The reason is because every one of those feasts was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going into that now. It's a different teaching entirely, and I think I've taken it a few occasions here before. How you will see Christ, how Christ fulfilled each one of those feasts. So remember that it's a shadow of things to come. But we are children of God today through Christ. The same reason that necessitated those feasts, the same reason applied to us even now. So there is a need for us also to set aside a period and thank God. But also, take note that the strength, and please, women, bear with me, because what I'm saying is the truth. The strength of a nation is the men. I'm not doing politics. It is a fact. From time of old, women sat at home while the men went to secure the land in battle. Only men were enlisted in the army to go and fight battle. Okay? There are some instances why, I mean, some women in history, we have had them fighting battle, but I want you to also note that it is so established even in Israel until when Deborah was a judge, in the time that Israel went apostate so much until children were their kings and women ruled over them. According to the Bible, women were not supposed to rule over men. But they got to a stage where they had to rule in Israel. When it was time to go to a war, Deborah had to go to... Who did he go to? Did she go to? Who did she go to? Praise God. Why did she have to go to the man to lead the battle? Because she knew her role. You can't fight it. Praise the Lord. You can't fight that battle. The men are supposed to be the strength of the nation. It is when men fail that women take over. Where men are, you begin to see women taking charge. It's the evidence of the falling estate of the men in that place. Well, we have come to an age now, among us, when we come to Christ, there is neither male nor female when it comes to salvation, but when it comes to leadership, he said, I permit not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That is why there cannot be women pastors. You cannot ordain women into the fivefold ministry. And so it was specific that it was the males that we are to gather 3 times in a year. In the feasts, in these 3 feasts, 3 times in a year, we want to wake up the men fellowship in Bride Assembly with that same ordinance. 3 times in a year, men fellowship, we will come. All the men will come in a special program. The first one will be the Passover. Only men. The second one will be the Feast of Weeks. And the third one will be the Feast of Tabernacle. 3 feasts. And you know what? It goes with a promise. That is why, in verse 24 of chapter 34 of Exodus, it says, verse 23, it says, thrice in a year shall all your men children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. See what he will do. Why you should do that? For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God. How many times in a year? Thrice. When this was quickened to me a few days ago as I was studying the Bible, I'm always quoting Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's Read it. Until it occurred to me that there's a specific instruction there. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Hallelujah. From verse 13, 14, 15, 16. He said, thou shalt observe the feast of tabernacles 7 days. He repeated the same thing in Deuteronomy. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the laborer, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God, where in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. Verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he, God, shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. So please, while I'm giving this exhortation, I shall thank the Lord and close. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A lot of us don't understand why we should thank God. Thanking God is not just something about once in a year. This is just ceremonial. They need to come together as just like America will come together. And people will not know that of all the countries in the world, America is the one that takes that day of Thanksgiving seriously. Are you then surprised that it is the greatest nation today? The strongest nation. Strongest in military hardware, strongest in economy, strongest in anything you can think of. People don't know. It is the biggest donor nation in the whole world. You will see them prospering, and then Nigeria will be going to beg. They beg, they beg. So they, even election, they are wanting them to recognize. You see, if you elect him president, he will not be able to go to America. And then they are saying it as if America is a heaven. That's where God lives. When did you see the president? When did you see the... For how long did it take before president of China visited America? Tell me whether how long it took, how many years before the president of North Korea visited America. You will not do what they are doing so that you will be strong. You continue Babi Allah, Babi Allah, Babi Allah, Babi Allah, Babi Allah. And so it is with individuals. Follow these Bible principles. Do it so that you can position yourself for God to bless you. The mystery of thanksgiving. Amen. But even then, the mystery of thanksgiving, we don't just even look at it, oh, praise the Lord. We don't even look at it from the point of view of what I will get. The blessing that will come to me. If I will thank God. No. Listen. Thanksgiving is an expression of the heart. The heart is either grateful or ungrateful. If you are going to thank God so that he will do more, that is contract. and God is not going to bless you, you may bring a truckload of gifts to express your gratitude, and your heart may not truly be a grateful heart. What God therefore is looking at is not the size of the offering you bring, but how grateful your heart is. That is the heart. It's the heart that God is looking at. Until you catch this, amen, you will never have the full benefit of relating with God. Because thanksgiving establishes relationship. Establishes relationship. Listen, even we, naturally, human beings, no human being enjoys parasitic relationship unless that person is a witch that wants you perpetually to depend on him. You know what is a parasitic relationship? You are collecting from him, you are not giving him anything back. It is a one-way relationship. It is parasitic. You are a parasite. And there is no relationship. Parasitic relationship is no relationship. And we take it even to God. And that's why you just remain. Your Christian life is struggle and struggle and struggle. Then you find yourself asking questions. Why is my case different? Why is this? Why is this? Why is that? Why? Grumble. It is evidence you have no relationship with him. And one way of establishing that relationship is give back to God praise. Give back to God thanksgiving. Appreciate him. That's all he wants from us. And when you praise him, hallelujah, we have seen examples in the Bible. Because it moves God to relate better with you. 10 lepers were healed. Only one came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, was it not 10 of you that were healed? Why only one? That lets me know Jesus was waiting for thanksgiving. He expected it. And he looked at him. What did he tell him? Go, thy faith has made thee whole. I've explained that several times here. Go, thy faith has made thee whole. That is, faith there is revelation. The revelation you have, that there is need to come and show gratitude and appreciation. Did he come with any offering? He didn't come with offering. But he came with a thankful heart. And God said, for doing that, hallelujah, thy faith has made thee whole. That means your testimony will only be permanent if you come back and appreciate God. Whatever reason you are praising God today, if you are going to have that reason to continue, then you must appreciate God. You must thank him. Some people make it look as if they are doing God some favor by their thanksgiving. It's wrong. Very, very wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 67, verse 5, 6, and 7. Psalm 67 sums it all. Why we must come and give thanks. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. You see? And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God, the type of blessing that God will bless us, he will bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him when they see what he has done with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the truth. If you read Psalm 100, let's read Psalm 100 from verse 1. What did he say? Psalm 100, verse 1. These are people speaking by the Spirit of God. Make what? When he said make a joyful, you can never have a joyful heart until you have a praiseful. Until you have a grateful heart, I mean to say. You cannot have a joyful heart until you have a grateful heart that produces a praiseful mouth. I repeat. To have a joyful heart, you must first have a grateful heart. And it is only a grateful heart that we have a joyful heart to produce a praiseful mouth. You are not able to say, Baba, thank you. It's because you don't have a grateful heart. You are never expressing joy. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A joyful heart there is an expression of one who is always looking cheerful. Cheerful. Why? Because he knows all is well. If all is well, hallelujah. There's a brother here that when he expressed his condition to me yesterday, even with his bank balance, all he has is 2,000 naira. 2,000 naira, and there is an emergency that he needs some hundreds of thousands of naira emergency. And he has been in that estate for some time, and if you see him always joyful, always. So I had to text him back. I say, you are a wonderful brother. You mean you've been going through all this condition, even as close as you are to me. You won't let any of us know what you are going through. Amen. And when I finished talking with him, when I called him back, I was condemning myself. If I think I'm a Christian, there are better Christians than me. I'm seeing them. You will never know that even to eat is difficult for him. That is a joyful heart. But something makes you joyful. It's when you begin to consider the goodness of the Lord. The day you take your eyes away from problems around you, calling your attention, and you refuse to look at that problem, but look at the things that God has done for you, even the ones you didn't pray for, you didn't ask, and he gave you or did it for you. All other problems will become secondary. He said, make a joyful noise. Psalm 100. Unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. To all generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We as a church, there is need for us to come together like this as a group to thank God. I see us as a group of people that are in the same estate as Israel was. Whatever was the reason, Nebuchadnezzar came and took all of them away and declared the land desolate. Declared the land desolate. Chased them out of their own promised land. Took them out of captivity. Hallelujah. But while they are there in captivity, there is thus said the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 10 and verse 11. See the way he put it. Thus said the Lord. He said, again, there shall be heard in this place. Why am I making reference to this before I read it? Nebuchadnezzar came and drove them away so that the whole place became bush. Israel, Jerusalem in particular. So a few years back, that was the testimony of Israel. That is what they intended to do. To declare this place desolate. To drive us all away from here. But did the Lord intervene? Did the Lord intervene? In a normal setting, that date or that week supposed to be our annual Thanksgiving week. They destroyed this church 5th December 2012. That week from 5th shall remain our annual Thanksgiving. This is what he said. Verse 10. Thus said the Lord. Again, there shall be heard in this place. Thus said the Lord again. There shall be heard in this place. Which you say shall be desolate. Without man and without beast. Even in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. That are desolate without man and without inhabitants and without beasts. In this place, he said, there shall be the voice of joy. And the voice of gladness. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. That is, there will be wedding ceremonies that will be taking place here. Wedding ceremonies will be taking place here. And the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. How many people are understanding what I am saying? We are also a nation. A nation. Holy nation. The Bible calls a holy nation. Royal priesthood. We are a nation of God. Israel is a nation of God. And a true church. There will be a lot of things that will be happening that will resemble what was happening in Israel. But under grace and better mercies than Israel. We are under grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why we will thank God today. Amen.